Hello, this is Keith Livingston from Hypnosis101.com and AdvancingIdeas.com. Recently, I gave a presentation on why hypnosis is so effective for smoking cessation. I hope you enjoy it. For further information on how to stop smoking with hypnosis, please visit hypnosis101.com/smoking.htm. Enjoy the presentation. So welcome, hypnotists and guests. So why is hypnosis so effective for smoking cessation? And let me just back that statement up by saying that the largest scientific study ever done on the various methods to stop smoking found hypnosis was the most effective way to stop smoking. There was only one situation that they found in which people quit more regularly and consistently over a long-term basis, and that is when they went to their doctor and their doctor said, if you don't stop smoking, you're going to die. Now, why do you think that was?
Motivation.
Motivation. And this is going to speak to one of the points that I make later. So below that was hypnosis. And by the way, I don't recommend getting yourself in that situation just to stop smoking. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the components that make cigarette smoking very difficult for some people to stop. And I break them down into three categories. One is the addictive nature of nicotine. Two is the emotional things that go along with smoking. And three is just the plain gosh darn old habit. And let's take those one by one. Now, you would imagine that if nicotine were the main reason that people kept smoking, that nicotine replacement therapies would be very effective. The patch, the gum, all those things that put nicotine in your system. The studies I've read show a success rate of between 6 and 15% for those therapies. And if you read the literature carefully, they don't really recommend them as standalone therapies. And you can imagine why, with a success rate of 6 to 15%. Has anybody here tried the gum or patch? Anybody? A lot of people that I've seen that have come into my office are smoking with the patch on. Now, why would somebody smoke with the patch on? Because
it wasn't about nicotine,
or there was some other thing in addition to nicotine that was driving the habit. So the patch or the gum is never going to take care of the other components of smoking cessation. Now, what a lot of people don't know is that hypnosis is very effective at altering physiological functions and body sensations. And just to give you an example, I'll read from one study. The study followed people that had burns, that were severely burned. And as you know, having a severe burn is probably one of the most painful things that you can experience. This particular individual, like most burn victims, had to have his dressings changed. Excruciating. Here's what he said. I was having a hard time during the 15 minutes it took to remove my dressings each day. I guess once a day, and it took 15 minutes. The hypnosis calmed me. I went from a pain level of 8 or 9 to 4 or 5. So this patient was able to reduce his pain about 50% through hypnosis. Okay, now that's a pretty substantial reduction. There have been literally thousands of operations performed with hypnosis as the only anesthetic. It can dramatically alter body sensations. With pain in particular, it can do it two ways. It can alter our perception of the pain, and it can also actually decrease the level of the pain signal physiologically. One other thing I want to quote, David Spiegel, who's a psychiatrist at Stanford University, and this is a very famous study, conducted a study on breast cancer patients receiving group therapy and hypnosis as well as standard cancer therapy. The group that had received hypnosis survived twice as long on average as those who had standard therapy alone. There's evidence, you certainly can't claim that hypnosis cures cancer, but there's evidence that hypnosis can not only alter the sensations that we feel, but can actually alter physiological processes. Now, would those things be useful in getting through a nicotine addiction? Yeah, what if you were addicted, but you just didn't have any symptoms? You know, you just didn't have the desire, the craving. Okay, so that's point one. I do believe that there is an addictive component to cigarettes, but I certainly the success or lack of success of the nicotine replacement therapies indicates that it's not a big part, nor is it the whole picture. in my notes are here. I have, what is my point? That was my point. Good to have notes, isn't it? In my opinion, the driving reason that people smoke is for emotional reasons. Now, what are emotional reasons that people smoke? Why do you smoke? Does it calm you? Anybody? Calms? What else? What other reasons do people smoke?
Get a break from work.
To get a break. I find a lot of people talk about how getting out and getting away and being able to think of things from a new perspective is part of their whole reason for smoking. Some people say it relaxes them. Some people started to smoke as a rebellion against maybe their parents. What other reasons do people smoke?
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. So for social reasons. If you think about it, most of those things are positive. People want to be social. They want to relax. They want to be calm. They want to get a new perspective. Are those things bad? No. So here's what happens. Your subconscious mind tends to work sometimes on the squeaky wheel theory. So if you get in a stressful situation and your subconscious mind goes, I know it works well for that. I'll have a cigarette. And then your conscious mind goes, no, we're not going to have those. Those are bad. And that works for about 15 seconds. And then there's a little nagging, hey, I know how to do this. So your mind gets set up in a battle with itself. Maybe you guys aren't as crazy as I am. But maybe you are. So the minds get in a battle with themselves, and the subconscious mind is just oodles more powerful than the conscious mind. The conscious mind can usually, through willpower, kind of force things through for a little while, and then 15 minutes later, you go, oh, that was pretty good. I stopped, I didn't have, oh, hey, where'd that come from? Right? How many times have you just found a cigarette in your fingers and gone, well, how did that get there? That's the nature of a habit. It's unconscious. So these emotional drivers, which are very positive emotions, which we want in our lives, like relaxation and perspective and calmness or whatever you get from smoking, we need to find other ways to get those. Otherwise, what's going to happen the next time we're stressed? That desire is going to come creeping in. And in fact, what happens to people that stop smoking? What do? They gain weight. Why? Because it's another mechanism to reach those same emotions. Fortunately, one of the things that hypnosis is very effective for is what's called splitting or linking. Because what has happened if you're a habitual smoker is that, let's say you smoke to calm yourself. Well, the cigarettes have become linked with the smoke, or the cigarettes have become linked with the smoking.
Right.
Well, that's hard to, take care of that. The emotion has gotten linked to the cigarettes or to the smoking. They are a paired response, just like Pavlov's dogs, right? You ring the bell, the dog salivates. So you need calmness, you smoke, it brings calmness. So one of the things that hypnosis can do is help to split those things apart. The other thing hypnosis can do is help link things together. So you take something else, anything else, let's say taking a cool glass of water, a nice refreshing drink, and through hypnosis, you can cause that drink of water to be a trigger for whatever that positive emotion was. So this means the next time you need to relax, maybe it's a deep, refreshing breath. I speak like a hypnotist, don't I? Say, how many times did you take a deep, refreshing, I don't speak like a hypnotist, breath today. So maybe it's you take a breath in, and you let it out, and you just feel the calmness wash over you and your shoulders lose their tension. Okay, so hypnosis can split the positive emotions from the cigarettes and link it up to something else. So that takes care of the second major way that major reason hypnosis is effective for smoking. A few months ago, I went to the dentist, and the dentist gave me a new toothbrush. And they gave me one of these newfangled toothbrushes that has a fat handle. So you can grab it easy, right? Well, my tooth, I have this little toothbrush holder. It's like this, and the toothbrushes go in. Well, it's too fat for this thing. It won't fit in there. So what have I done for 3 months? Every night, I go, and try to stick the thing in there. About this much of it sticks in and it falls out. Huh. Next night, what do? The same thing. Now it's, you can look at the toothbrush, you can look at the hole, it's not going to go. But I do it every night. Why? Habit. Just simply habit. Human beings are creatures of familiarity. And they do stuff over and over again. Just, you know, it's those neural pathways kind of get well-worn in there. A Newsweek magazine, by the way, and I quote, says, the easiest way to break habits is through... That's right. Thank you, everyone. You know, I want to speak to this point just a little bit more. Habits are unconscious in nature. It's something that you don't have to think about in order for it to happen. And smoking is one of those things where, I don't know, I'm sure those of you who smoke, your experience is that you just find cigarettes in your hands. You don't have to go, oh, you know what, I need to take another breath. Oh, I better let that one out. Right? It's unconscious. You don't even think about it. And smoking can be the same way. Now, one of the toughest habits of all to break is the habit of compulsive hair pulling. I don't know if you've seen any of this stuff on, you know, 2020 or one of those news shows, but it is incredibly tough to, well, for one, it's tough to pronounce. Jackie, do you know how to say trichotillomania? Is that right? Trichotillomania? I'm going to pretend that's right. It's either trichotill or trichotillomania. Compulsive hair pulling. And these people literally pull their hair out of their heads and can't stop. It's a terrible, terrible condition. And by the way, the main treatment for it has been medication. So there was a study of children with this unpronounceable condition. Children who were hypnotized to stop pulling their hair remained able to refrain from doing so for 16 months after just a few hypnotic sessions. The authors suggest that doctors consider hypnosis and not medication as the primary treatment for compulsive hair pulling so that we don't have to say that word anymore. So in summary, the addictive nature of cigarettes, hypnosis addresses and helps you with. The emotional reasons for smoking, you can use hypnosis to help you generate alternate behaviors rather than smoking to get those positives. Because let's face it, smoking has positives to it. It's got satisfaction for some people. It's got all kinds of emotions. And three, just the unconscious or subconscious nature of habits, well, you really need to work in the same area that the habit exists, which is the subconscious. It's very difficult to break an unconscious habit consciously. Does that make any sense? Right? The way I say it is that it's like going to the desk clerk and complaining about the service in a hotel. You might get to the hotel manager. You might not. But you might have to say it about a million times before you do. So let's just go directly to the boss, the unconscious mind, the part of our mind that is responsible for emotion and maintaining habits, and give it some instructions. Okay, those are the reasons why hypnosis is so effective for smoking cessation. One study that I wanted to point out, which I forgot in my notes, there was a couple of guys, Hall and Krasnick, who did a study of a four-session protocol for smoking cessation, and they followed up at intervals between 1 and 4 years, and 85% of the people had not had another cigarette between 1 and 4 years. Now that compares to 6 to 15% for, although not for that exact time period, for nicotine replacement therapies. And it just goes to show you it's a good long-term solution. It's not a miracle cure. It can't make you quit smoking. Whatever your motivation is will tremendously help. But it can definitely boost the power of whatever you've got inside you. It can't make you grow wings, as far as I know. But it can help you with what you already have inside. For me, I have a tendency to believe that people are different and they respond differently. They need all kinds of different techniques. Personally, when I work with somebody to stop smoking, I use aversive suggestions, which means those cigarettes are going to taste crappy. I use positive suggestions to make, because my life isn't about making other people's lives crappy, except for the people that live right around me. But so you want to make sure that those people get more positive emotions than they used to get from smoking. So we boost that up. You split the positives from the cigarette as well as add the negatives to the cigarette. Oftentimes there's a direct suggestion component. Sometimes you use metaphor. The subconscious learns very well through stories. So I find that different people respond differently. Some people respond very well to direct suggestion, others to indirect. I believe in suggestion. So I don't believe in showing an alcoholic a diseased liver or a smoker a picture of a lung. That's a suggestion. Yeah. It essentially says you're going to end up like this if you do that. And I don't believe in that. However, if you look at how do you move someone from where they are, there's two ways. You can pull them from the front or you can push them from the back. There's the carrot and the stick. And some people, in fact, the majority of people, are more motivated away from pain than they are toward pleasure. And it depends on the personality and the situation. Yeah. Well, you can move more people away from pain than you can toward pleasure faster. So in terms of being effective, I personally believe that if you include both, you'll help more people. But nobody likes to feel negatively about something. So what I do, when I choose my aversive suggestions, I do like she did in that I ask somebody to pick something they don't like or something they would never do. What you want to do is when somebody looks at a cigarette and thinks about smoking it, you want to go, that's that thing I would never do. I wouldn't do that in a million years. So you pick something that generates that feeling in them, and then you link it to smoking. Here's what I do. I ask people to pick something that's safe, not harmful in any way, but that they would never consider doing in a million years. For me, it would be eating liver. Other people like liver. I lived in Russia for a couple of years, and this wonderful woman that I'd met who worked for the company that I worked for invited me home for dinner. She wanted me to meet her son and her husband and feed me a good Russian meal, and she fed me liver. And I tried as hard as I could to eat that liver, and I almost gagged. Now, other people like liver. So for me, eating liver is not dangerous to me. There's nothing. If I consider eating liver, it doesn't. It feels bad. But it's disgusting to me. So that's, if I want to motivate myself away from doing something, I attach that same feeling of what would it be like if I was sitting here trying to eat liver. Ugh, I'd never do that. That's the feeling you want to have attached to cigarettes. Now, the other side of that is if you just do that, people's lives get worse. They go around feeling bad all the time. So you give an alternate behavior that generates as much or more positive feelings as immediately as cigarettes did. That's an important one. Because you say, well, what would you rather do instead of smoking cigarettes? Well, I'd like to go to the gym. Okay, it's 2 a.m. You've woken up. Time to go to the gym. Oh, well, no, you can't get there as quickly. You know, it might be a substitute for a cigarette occasionally. But you need something that's as immediate and is going to give you tremendous amount of positive resources, even more powerful than the cigarette used to. Now, fortunately, through hypnosis, we can hook those positive emotions up to just about anything. We talked about stage hypnosis earlier, and most stage hypnotists don't make people bark like dogs. You don't make people bark like dogs, do you, John?
No.
Hardly ever? I saw a stage hypnotist, actually a good friend of mine, a few months ago. He called me up and he said, hey, I'm doing a bunch of high school graduation parties. You want to come along? Run my sound? He wanted me to do his music cues. And I said, sure. And once we got it all agreed, he said, okay, the first one's at 2 o'clock in the morning and the next one's at 4 o'clock in the morning. But so I went. One of the things he did was he talked about, okay, you're sitting in a tropical location and you're just wonderful. You got a nice cool drink and now the temperature is going up. And you could see these people start to sweat. They changed physiologically. And then he had them in a sports car. And they're driving along in their sports car. And he's like, oh, and you see somebody that you think's really cute and they like you, wave to them, they're over there, and they're like, hey, right? They were experiencing those emotions, and he would do things like with finger snaps. Okay, when I snap my fingers, you're going to just drop into a wonderfully relaxed state, blah, 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 blah. Well, what does a finger snap have to do with relaxation? Is a finger snap inherently relaxing? No. Well, I suppose it depends on the individual. But for in this particular situation, he'd used hypnosis to link a finger snap to total and utter relaxation. Now, if you can link a finger snap to relaxation, you can link anything to anything. In fact, people have been so crazy as to link pleasure to cigarettes. If you can do that, you can do anything. Let's have a little fun and then I'll... Well, this sounds bad. I was going to say, let's have a little fun and then I'll turn you over to Cheryl. Like, she wouldn't be fun. Everybody do this, if you would. If you want to participate, you don't have to. Now, what I'm going to tell you is that what you'll get out of this is directly proportionate to how much you focus on this idea. I'd like you to look at the space between your fingers and focus on the idea that there are magnets on the tips of your two fingers and they're pulling closer and closer together. Don't try to do it and don't try to stop it. Just allow those magnets that are on the tips of your fingers pulling together, almost like a vise pulling those fingers together, closer and closer together, pulling together, tighter and tighter, pulling together, closer and closer. Concentrate on the fact that they're coming together. They're pulling together closer and closer and closer. They may be touching or soon they may be touching, pulling together closer and closer and closer, jammed together like a vise. They're getting closer and closer, pushing together, pulling together, pushing together, pulling together, pushing together. Okay. Now, that's just an idea. If you do it, it's almost as if you can't tell. Oh, by the way, you can let go now if you want. Wow, it was a great meeting, Keith. Thanks. See ya. Bye-bye. Damn hard to smoke with these things like this. If you do it, it's almost as if you don't know if you're doing this or not. Right? Some people, it's like, that just happened to me. But yet it's your own mind that's concentrating on it. Let's try another one. If everybody want to stand up. Left hand palm up. Right hand palm down. Arm stretched out. Now imagine, if you would, close your eyes if you like, that in your left hand there's a bowling ball. And it's very, very heavy. It's really, you can feel the coolness of the bowling ball. And it's heavy. You can hardly hold your arm up and you're trying. On your right hand there's a whole bunch of helium balloons attached to your wrist, and you're rich, and they're pulling that arm up and up, and the higher it goes, the richer you get. A heavy bowling ball in one hand, oh my word, and the balloons lifting the other hand. Now freeze, open your eyes, and look at where your hands are. Okay, and now you can let them down. That's all that it takes. It's that kind of concentration that takes, and what happens, as I think Lisa was talking about, as in a movie, your what's called critical factor is bypassed. You say, okay, I know it's a movie. I know it's not real. But I'm just going to allow that part of my mind to take a little rest right now so I can enjoy this movie. That's all you need to do with hypnosis, is accept the suggestions, go along with things, allow your critical factor to be bypassed. You're still alert, just like you are in a movie. You're still awake, you can still hear things. First of all, I'd like to thank those of you who are guests for coming out. We appreciate it. Final note, I wanted to tell you guys, about 20 years ago, actually yesterday would have been my father's 82nd birthday, but about 20 years ago he died of lung, liver, and brain cancer. He was a 2-pack-a-day camel man. So I feel very strongly that anybody that really wants to stop smoking, they really should. I dedicated my hypnosis stop smoking system to my father, and I hope that he would be proud of me and that this does have meaning to me. So thank you for participating with me, and actually thank you for laughing at my jokes as well. I appreciate that. That's it.
Thank you for listening to my presentation on why hypnosis is so effective for smoking cessation. For further information, please visit hypnosis101.com/smoking.htm. Until next time, this has been Keith Livingston for Hypnosis101.com and Advancing Ideas. Bye-bye.